I am from a little village in Kerry of kind of less than 600 people.
Called?
Called Sneem.
Yeah, oh, it's Sneem, yeah, very good.
Sneem, yeah, that's the one everyone knows. It's on the Ring of Kerry, it's very picturesque, go and visit it. I've been living in Dublin for the past 7 or 8 years, I studied here. Lately, I have been gigging as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
I also worked as a bicycle messenger over the past 2 years.
And what were you studying in Dublin, Lisa?
Psychology.
In what college?
In Trinity, I'm a psychology graduate.
Very good. So you've done your degree and you're just kind of having a bit of fun before you get into the real world.
That's what they say, yes.
Is that what it is? That's what they say. Who's that, your dad?
Well, yeah.
Why did you were called Squeak. I noticed that whenever they're tunnelling in around airports around London and Britain, they always have strange names like Squirrel and Fox and so on. Where did you get Squeak from?
My nickname for years, it has been ever since I was working in the courier firm. They always laughed because I was the only girl on the radio and they said my voice squeaked. So from that it turned into, you know, go on, offer you a piece of cheese, Squeak, and so on.
And so the name stuck.
So the name stuck, exactly.
How did you end up down a tunnel?
Well, I've been protesting at the Rathlew camp since November, on and off, and There was a couple of us, basically, who knew that we had to occupy the tunnel and were they to come and try and evict us. So I was the lucky girl on that morning at 6 o'clock.
And when you say there are a couple of you, how many, or who was the other person?
There were one or two other people involved.
Hmm. And what was the point of the tunnel?
The point was to highlight the instability of the Esker, you know, to put ourselves in the same danger that, because what we do, it's a form of protest called direct action, and it's like literally stopping the construction work physically, whether it be standing in front of construction machinery or locking yourselves to doors to stop people passing through, you know, this kind of thing. So the tunnel protest is often used in road protests, you know, the tunnel is usually built underneath the route of the road itself, and you occupy the tunnel to stop construction machinery from passing overhead.
And who constructed the tunnel, Lisa?
I'm not really sure. Moles? Badgers, maybe?
Yes. slash yourself and some friends.
Now, in fairness, the construction of the tunnel was described as ingenious, and I'm not an ingenious engineer. So
what sort of, were you using your hands, and or did you have hammers or spades, or what did you...
I'd say there were little hammers, shovels, bucket and spade kind of thing.
Okay. And from what I understand, there was a room of some description that you were able to occupy. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a little chamber down the bottom.
A chamber, right. Let's call it. That sounds kind of grisly, but there you are, down the chamber, under the ground. And what did you bring with you?
Let's see. There was loads of food and water down there. Obviously, there was a very good supply of that. I had with me books. I had a book on Celtic mythology. I had wool. I'm knitting at the moment, so that to keep me occupied.
Okay. What other books did you bring with you?
What else did I have down there? There's a very good book called Invoking Ireland, written by John Moriarty.
Okay.
The Lilliput Press. And I had a book of quotes, you know, a couple of patriotic bits and pieces, you know, Padraig Pearse and so on.
Okay. Did you pick those with... kind of judiciously? Did you decide that they were the ones that you felt would be appropriate to your stay in the tunnel?
Yeah, of course. Like, they're very good for jogging your mind and making you think imaginatively about protesting, really, and about looking after the country.
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else that I had down there?
Mm-hmm.
Pen and paper. I had a video camera. I did a wee bit of a video diary.
Okay. And is that available for people to see?
It will be, but not yet. It'll be available on www.tarapixie.net.
Very good. Did you bring a musical instrument down with
you? Yeah, I had a tin whistle with me as well.
So, tin whistle. Did you play?
Yeah. No. there was a bit of a rumour that I had a saxophone down there, but I wouldn't have been able to fit it into the space, really.
Do you have a saxophone?
I do, yeah.
But you didn't bring it with you?
I didn't.
Did you play the tin whistle while you were down there?
I did, yeah.
What songs did you play?
There's The Rakes of Mallow, I like that one. Or there's a particular song The Cranberries did that I like playing.
And how long did you end up spending in the tunnel?
Let's see, I didn't quite make the 3 days. I came out Saturday night after about 60, 62 hours.
Okay, and what brought you back up to...
My family was very concerned, you know. There was all sorts of pressure going on.
In what sense?
Emotional pressure, you know. They had been led to believe that I was chained to a carjack and that, you know, I was willing to die and all this kind of stuff. You know, I was a bit sensationalist and I didn't want to worry them or my family unduly.
And how did you communicate with your family?
I had a radio. There was two-way radio communication going on with above ground. So I was able to talk to them over the radio and sure, I came up.
So what happened? Was it your dad? Did he arrive down at the top of the tunnel?
Yeah, my dad and my uncle.
And your dad and your uncle, were they speaking into the walkie-talkies?
Yes, they were at first. And sure, I came up.
What were they saying to you?
They were just expressing their concern.
Because I read that there was talk that your dad was saying that, you know, your granny would be upset or, you know, wouldn't have appreciated what you're doing, that kind of thing. Was that what he was saying to you?
Yeah, he said that at one point. Well, in fact, my uncle, I think, made that point.
And tell me the point.
He just said that, we buried my grandmother about a year and a half ago and he didn't want to bury me too.
And did you have a row with your dad or your uncle through that?
Quite heated at times, you know, our debates. Everyone had their own side, you know, the heat of the moment, a lot of things were said.
And what was your argument?
My argument was that my protest was my own protest, and as such, it was extremely important, you know, now is the time to stand up and shout, you know. If we don't do it now, then, you know, Tara will be gone forever, you know. They're daily destroying archaeology in the valley. The time was now, you know.
Yeah, but you ultimately lost the argument because you came out of the hole in the ground, and after your parents, or at least your father and your uncle, intervened.
Well, to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, I didn't achieve the aim of my protest, which was to get the Meath Master Plan implemented and stop construction of the motorway. However, I did secure a 10-point agreement with the NRA, which makes a lot of concessions about how construction should go on in the area.
And there was a feeling that from some quarters that what you were doing was grossly irresponsible, whatever about your own health. That
sure.
Ultimately, it was, you know, this is a motorway. It's considered a legal scenario, and you were really upsetting the rule of law.
I've heard all sorts of things. I'm a silly girl. Have I nothing better to do? You know, the point of the matter is that I don't know if the people of Meath want to pay a toll twice a day on a motorway. And I don't know if they know the alternatives that are available. The Meath Master Plan, which implements a 2+1 road design, not a motorway and not a tolled motorway. It's still possible to implement it, you know, and we're just trying to highlight that as much as possible to see that people know the alternatives.
And do you feel that digging a tunnel and occupying a hole in the ground for X amount of hours might bring change about?
Look, it has brought it to the wider public notice, you know. We're just trying to spread awareness as much as possible.
Mm, fair enough.
Get people talking and get people inspired.
Okay, you had a boyfriend when you were going down the tunnel, and then I understand you broke up with him before. what was that little soap opera happening on the sidebar?
Oh, I'm the most unlikely person in the world to have my personal life a media fodder. Paddy and myself, it's funny, we broke up a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it was because I was unduly stressed before going down the tunnel, you know. But, of course, he's a fellow protester and we continue to see each other.
There you are. You see, that's like Hello Magazine. We all gone mad. Lisa, thank you for your time this morning.
Much obliged. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. That's Lisa Feeney, also known in the papers more recently as Squeak, joining us on the phone live from Kerry this Wednesday morning on The Tubridy Show. Your thoughts on that and anything else, of course, welcome to text number 51551, or you can email us on tts@rte.ie.